A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
concentrate
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 273. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Chiller. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we're in 1995, we're on ITV, and it's an anthology series made up of 5 episodes. They run about 50 minutes each, although that would have been an hour on the commercial channel with the ad breaks, I'm guessing. And it's, as the title suggests, we're in the sort of realm of paranormal chills, and it's an anthology horror series, which we'll be talking about the whole concept of that perhaps a bit more in our next episode, Brian.
Yes, but we are back to this anthology idea where we have a different unrelated story in each episode and different cast and characters in each episode. So we do have some quite interesting cast and creators and directors and so on in this. There were only 5 episodes here, so we will take a look at each one and describe each one briefly. The first one was an episode called Prophecy, where a group of young friends are doing a seance of a sort that's really a joke. They don't really believe anything's going on there, but they're just having fun doing this thing, playing around as teenagers.
Yes, that's right. They're students, they're messing around, and if you've ever read any horror stories or watched any horror films, you'll know that's usually not a good idea in this sort of context, Brian, because things usually turn out badly.
That's right.
And of course, years later, after this jokey seance, things do seem to be going very badly for the group, and so we'll see in this story some gruesome accidents. Are the members of the group being cursed by a terrible prophecy? And in particular, can one young woman who was part of the group, can she find the answer before whatever seems to be happening to her friends catches up with her?
That's right. And it does seem to be sort of catching up with each one of them one by one. And, you know, her friends have been dying. So it's, brings something interesting with some real tension into this particular story. It was directed by Lawrence Gordon Clark, who we, of course, know and is quite well known for having done the Ghost Story for Christmas specials throughout most of the 1970s. And he was very good at bringing something spooky to those. And there is something similar here as well, for sure.
And it was adapted for the screen by Stephen Gallagher, again, a name that we're familiar with, and we'll mention him again in a moment. But he was adapting a story by Peter James, who I gather is now a fairly well-known thriller writer. But here he is, Stephen Gallagher, adapting the story for the screen. And as you say, you know, Gallagher and Gordon Clark, we'll be talking about it again.
Yes. Behind the scenes, we have some really interesting people here, for sure.
But up on screen, we've got some very interesting actors as well.
Yes, we have Sophie Ward as Franny and Nigel Havers as Oliver. So, you know, interesting actors there. We also have Tony Haygarth as Father Spode. The, you know, often a priest comes into these things, and it's certainly the case here. Tony Haygarth, we remember from Kinvig. He starred in that. And he also had a nice role later than this in Ghost Boat.
Yes, it's good to see him up there. And as you say, these stories usually involve consulting a priest or a vicar at some point, and this is no exception. Yes, The Prophecy, where things are going horribly wrong for a group of friends who perhaps meddled in something they shouldn't have done.
Yeah, it has a classic sort of spooky feel to it there.
Okay, let's turn from that to the second story, which was called Toby. Again, there's sort of a fair degree of tragedy to start with, because a young couple called Louise and Ray lose their unborn child in a car crash. Louise was pregnant, obviously, and she loses the pregnancy. And as they are trying to recover from this terrible incident, it would appear that Louise is pregnant again. Or at least she's behaving as if she's pregnant again, but the doctors can find no sign of an actual physical pregnancy. It appears she's having a phantom pregnancy. And her husband and all her friends are sort of begging with her to get some form of psychological help for the distress and so on. But she seems quite convinced that she's pregnant, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And Louise not only believes that she's pregnant, but that the spirit or the ghost of her lost child, who died in this car crash, is very real and very much a part of things.
Yes, it's, as I say, it's another disturbing and sort of tragic tale, and you can sort of see where it's going. But yeah, quite fascinating stuff, I suppose.
Yes, and this one was written by Glenn Chandler and directed by Bob Mahoney. And we have performances by Serena Gordon as Louise and Martin Clunes putting in a really nice performance as Ray. Martin Clunes, I guess, best known as Doc Martin, but I certainly think of his very early performance in Doctor Who and Snake Dance.
Yes, when he was a very young Martin Clunes, even before Men Behaving Badly. But there you go. So here he is in the mid-90s as the young and sort of rather concerned husband of Louise. So it's an interesting tale. You'll sort of see the sort of pattern we're describing as we work through these episodes. We'll do one more for this part of our discussion. We'll do Mirror Man, the third episode, in which social workers are trying to help a disturbed young man who is living rough in a derelict church. Sometimes he claims to be the caretaker of the church, and sometimes he just seems to be somewhere that he's dossing. A young man called Gary, who is terrified by and in some ways dominated by his friend, a chap called Malcolm. But of course, as you would imagine in a horror anthology series, there's more to it than that. And we get the idea that Malcolm doesn't actually exist. Is he a real friend? Is he imaginary? Or is he something even much worse than that? These are some of the mysteries that the Mirror Man story proposes for us.
Yes, we don't see Malcolm, so we are wondering what the story with Malcolm is. This one was written by Stephen Gallagher, adapted from his own Radio 4 play from 1987 called The Kingston File. And this one was also directed by Lawrence Gordon Clark. So we have some interesting people there for sure. And the central performance as Gary, we have John Sim, and very young John Sim from well before Life on Mars, and also well before he was the Master on Doctor Who. So very interesting to see him there. And even at this point, he did some pretty interesting stuff as an actor in his performances there. We also had Phyllis Logan, from who would go on to be in Downton Abbey, playing his social worker.
Yeah, so as you've gathered, as we've just sort of trotted through the first three episodes, quite high-powered television casts for these stories. And, yeah, that will continue when we get into our next part of our discussion. So, you know, it's certainly good people involved. And Mirror Man, yeah, that's a dark and disturbing story. And if you want a sort of dark and disturbed young man, then John Sim can do a pretty good performance at that.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had seen this at the time, I would have been looking up, you know, who is this young guy who did this, really compelling performance?
Yeah, it's great stuff. Okay, so that's the first three episodes. We turn, as we usually do at this stage, to our production notes. It's one of those shows where there's not a wealth of information about it. We know that it was a Yorkshire TV production, so that's one of the branches of ITV as they were then. So this is a sort of North of England production, and it does have some of that feel, which we'll, you know, perhaps mention in a moment or two. We know that they wanted to do a sort of an anthology series of modern ghost stories or modern ghostly chillers. And as you've said, Brian, production was handled by none other than Lawrence Gordon Clark. And of course, he also directed two of the first three episodes that we've mentioned. So, you know, as you say, a very powerful figure in television, particularly coming from that 70s background of those great ghost stories on for Christmas on the BBC.
Yes, that's right. Lawrence Gordon Clark had this, as you say, fantastic background from doing a ghost story for Christmas. He was well known for getting that very compelling, spooky kind of feel in those. Most of those were period set. You know, they were set in maybe Victorian times or earlier. I know not all of them are, but most of them were. So this is a little bit different than doing a complete series of ghost stories set in the present day and bringing that type of spooky feel to them.
And of course, you know, we've done the Ghost Story for Christmas series. It's something that we've returned to pretty much every December as we've been going along. So it's been a rich source of material for us to look at and discuss. But as you say, this was something much more modern for Lawrence Gordon Clark and his team.
Yes, that's right. And it's also doing ghost stories that are either originals or they're based on modern stories rather than basing them on the works of M.R. James and Charles Dickens, as most of the 1970s ghost stories were. I know a couple of them weren't, but it's a different approach there. We should also note that after doing that run of ghost stories for the BBC in the 70s, Lawrence Gordon Clark moved to ITV in 1979 and did another M.R. James adaptation. He did Casting the Runes for ITV. And we covered that back in British Invaders 57. And we've covered the various Ghost Story for Christmas releases at different times as well, usually in our Christmas releases.
And I was struck slightly that when he moves from the BBC to ITV, his first production, as you say, Casting the Runes, is a modern production. He brings it up to date. So he stops doing the period dramas. And I just wonder if some of that carries forward, you know, 16 years on to Chiller in 1995.
Well, it's possible. It was a very different feel of show when they did Casting the Runes with ITV. It was a sort of bright, modern color kind of thing. It had a very different feel to what he had done with the annual Christmas outings at the BBC. We also covered his show Chimera from 1991. We covered that in British Invaders 258 and 259. And there he was working with Stephen Gallagher, perhaps for the first time. And it leads to the two of them doing some work together in this series, Chiller. Stephen Gallagher has done a lot of interesting writing for British TV and radio. Notable from our point of view, on Doctor Who, he wrote Warrior's Gate for the fourth Doctor and Terminus for the fifth. And as we mentioned, did Chimera and Chiller. He also did Bugs and a show called October with a K, which we covered back in British Invaders 71, so quite some time ago.
Yes, and I just wonder if, You know, I've been looking at sort of where the origins of this show Chiller, and I'm thinking about Lawrence Gordon Clark coming to ITV and doing a modern ghost story. And then I wonder if on Chimera is where the sort of the birth of Chiller begins, with Gallagher and Lawrence Gordon Clark getting together and saying we should do some modern ghost stories. And then 4 years later on Yorkshire TV, it actually happened.
That does seem plausible. The four-year gap sounds about right for, you know, the two of them working together and then deciding on this new, fairly ambitious project. So that does seem like a reasonable idea.
And I can't remember if Chimera was also a Yorkshire TV production, but it was certainly filmed in the north of England. And I have to say that Chiller has that same sort of North of England look and feel to the production. You know, it's in Yorkshire, it's in Leeds and the surrounding countryside. And it looked, I thought, quite similar in terms of production values to Chimera.
Yeah, thematically, it's quite different because we're moving from the very science-y stuff into the very spooky ghost story type stuff.
Sure.
We have some quite nice location shooting in here that comes up in a variety of episodes and adds something quite nice and tangible to it, which helps offset the ghostly and more surreal types of things. Speaking of which, we should mention the title sequence of a screaming and melting face, which is quite sort of abstract on a plain background and sets the tone in kind of a nice way.
Yes, I mean, I think the title sequence for Chiller is particularly good, nightmarish in quality. I think there's an ad for this network DVD release that we've been looking at. I think you'll find the ad for it on YouTube, which will include those title sequence. So it's worth having a look at and just reminding yourself, particularly of this awful figure, which I presume is an actor in a prosthetic head, turning this screaming head towards the camera. And then, as you say, Brian, this sort of the head melts, the face sort of melts off the figure. So I presume at this point they've turned to a mannequin with some sort of wax face on top of it.
Yes, that's right. It is sort of a nice effect, and one that works well as a title sequence thing rather than using it as something in one of the shows itself. I think it was a good choice.
And if you're a fan of the Channel 4 program, The 100 Scariest Moments, one that I've talked about a few times on the podcast, the thing that it reminded me of, you know, that Channel 4 program, which included film and television and music, but also music videos, they featured as one of their 100 Scariest Moments the video for a song, Come to Daddy, by an Irish electronic musician who goes by the name of Aphex Twin. And a chap called Chris Cunningham directed his 1997 music video. And I've got a feeling that they must have seen the titles for Chiller, because there's some, you know, the moment that features on the Channel 4 show is very similar, I think.
Oh, interesting.
And it's pretty creepy.
It is, yes. Chiller was broadcast on ITV starting on March 9th, 1995 and running through April 27th of 1995. We're not aware of any repeats or overseas distribution, but it is I think there may have been some distribution to the US, but I'm not aware of the details on that.
Nor really are we aware of the reviews at the time, although the front cover of the DVD does call it the critically acclaimed horror anthology series. Whether that's just hype or whether they could back that up with the reviews, I don't know. Haven't been able to find them, I'm afraid.
Yes, critically acclaimed by someone, right?
Yes. So I guess that brings us to the DVD or DVDs and availability of this series if you decide to check it out yourself. As ever in Region 2, we are blessed because there is, as I've said, from Network DVD, who we again have to thank for putting out this content on a regular basis, the complete series, all five episodes on two discs, but no extras as ever from, you know, or sadly. So sad emoji face from me for that. But it is very cheap. It's $8.99 currently on Amazon here in the UK. I couldn't find it on any of the rental or streaming sites, but not too bad for a box set of 5 50-minute episodes. However, meanwhile, in Region 1...
In Region 1, there is a box set that is listed on Amazon.com for $11.65. It's actually a region-free box set, and I don't know the full details about where that is from or if it's a North American release, but that is available.
Ah, interesting. I mean, unusual to find them, some of this British stuff on Amazon.com, but there you are. It is available overseas. Perhaps one to check out. Certainly not too expensive. So come back and join us next time for the second part of our discussion. We'll cover the last two stories from the second disc of the box set, and we'll pick out perhaps our own favourite of the five different tales.
That's right. And we will look at some of the other horror anthology series and different things that have been done with that over time, and maybe do a bit of comparison on those.
Yes, wondering which is the best anthology series. Something to talk about next time.
Absolutely. So until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com. Or if you join our Facebook group, you can join the discussions about anthology horror and other things. If you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there.
Yes, always fun on Facebook. And also join the fun at the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com, where you'll find that British Invaders is one of an anthology of geek-related podcasts that you may enjoy. Check us out, vognetwork.com.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. And until next time, it's Eamon in England also. Signing off.